Jesus said, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Aloha and welcome to Free Inside Ministry with Brother Bulla Eastman, proclaiming a message of hope and freedom. Let's join Brother Bulla now for today's message.
Aloha no, everyone. Brother Bulla here once again with Free Inside Ministry, coming to you from 99.5 FM, The Word. Just want to welcome all of our brothers and sisters that are tuning tonight. Welcome, my beloved. It's so good to have you tuning in tonight. And tonight we have a very special guest, so I'm just going to give one big shout out to everybody because I know that takes some time. I love you guys, but we are privileged and honored to have someone in our studio that I know is going to have a word for anyone and everyone that is listening tonight. So to everyone out in Halava, Waiava, FDC, Laumaka, the Windward Side, and OCCC, and even Saguaro, Arizona, there's your shout out. God loves you. Keep it right, keep it tight, and keep it in the light. Now, tonight, we are just so blessed to have from the Prayer Center of the Pacific. Now, when you talk about a praying warrior, you should have an image of a beautiful woman on her knees praying to our Father in interceding for each and every one of us. Now, this is none other than Pastor Virginia Dominglon, and we are so graced to have her in the studio tonight. Last night, my wife Lynette was able to talk about activating the Holy Spirit. But if you have been to any Ohana Day Festival, if you have been to any prayer center activities, you will know that when Pastor Virginia prays, she is in a direct alignment and connection with our Heavenly Father. She has been in the prisons for over 28 years, serving faithfully and just showing up every week and just sharing the good news of the gospel. But I don't want to take up any more airtime because it's so special to have you here today. Pastor Virginia, welcome once again to the Free Inside Ministry this evening.
Wow, hallelujah. What a privilege to be on with you.
Well, Pastor Virginia, you know, give our listening audience, because of the thousands of people listening out there, give them a little background of the Prayer Center of the Pacific so we have something to focus on and move forward.
Sure. The Prayer Center of the Pacific basically is a house of prayer. We have intercessors coming in at their availability. We pray in for our government, our businesses, our churches, our prisons, all the way down to our mental institutions. And all we do is we come in, you know, and the intercessors come in and be led by the Holy Spirit. And we're praying 24/7. That's our goal. Sometimes we sleep over and tarry before the Lord, listen to his heart, and just sacrifice our time and pray. That's what we call for. It's a joy to spend time with Papa.
I think that is the definition of fervent prayer, if I can say that myself. Now, you also take time out during your busy schedule to go to the various facilities to share the good news of the gospel in the prisons. Now, what facilities are you able to go to at this time?
We're in OCCC, Waiava, Halava, and the women's facility once a month.
That's so incredible. You know, now for 28 years, I have to tell everyone, if she says that she's been going in the prisons for 28 years, I sit here as a witness. She must have started in the fourth grade because time has been graceful to her. She looks wonderful. She has the joy of the Lord, and she's protected by the blood of Jesus. But, you know, when you're doing something you enjoy, when you're doing something that you love, that you know you've been called to do, you know, you become ageless. And I look at Pastor Virginia. She looks the same she did 10 years ago. God bless her. Now, how long have you been in Halava, Pastor Virginia?
Well, I've been in Halava, let's see, 28 years.
Wow.
28 years. When the doors open up, God opened the doors in every facility. So, 28 years, diligently and faithfully. We barely missed our visitations unless, something come up and I'm not on the island. But we look forward to fellowshipping with the brothers and sisters, encouraging them in the Holy Ghost, and just seeing what God is doing. He's breaking chains, setting the captives free. He's filling people up, you know, with the Holy Spirit and calling them sons and daughters and really changing lives. And we see the impact, the joy of Jesus.
Well, you know, that's an interesting point, you know, because sometimes, and I've noticed that, you know, and I'm a newborn in the prisons, you know, we've only been in there 4 years, nothing like the length of time that you have, but, you know, God has allowed us to impact so many lives, but when you can actually see the Holy Spirit take a hold of someone and where they actually change, it's really a miracle before your eyes, but that only comes by showing up consistently, showing up faithfully, because for those that are incarcerated, they hang on pretty much every word you say. They hang on every time that you say you're going to be there. So you have to learn not to overpromise because they look for it. They look forward to it so much. Now, you mentioned something about the holy fire. Can you share that with the listening audience? When you talk, I know what the holy fire is. I see that in you. It's burning incessantly within you. But I've seen you pray, Pastor Virginia, and I see God's fire coming down upon Ohana Day when we're at the stadium, when you pray. It's just incredible. Can you just share your heart with the listening audience?
Well, you know, I have a relationship with Papa. I call God Papa.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm grateful that, I learned in my walk with Christ is learn how to worship. And I've spent a lot of my time in the prayer center worshiping the Lord, spending time with Him, adoring Him for who He is.
Hallelujah.
And as we have this connection, when I come before Him, He just places such a passion and such a fire. You know, I have such a passion for my islands, for the island people,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, my heart is that, you know, to really cry before the Father for the sins of our city. You know, I took a 21-day liquid fast, and I was crying for my city. And just when I say city, I mean the state of Hawaii. I was
mm-hmm.
born and raised. I'm a Kalihi girl.
Mm-hmm.
And I cried, you know, before the Father, and I asked the Lord to forgive the sins, you know, in our government all the way down, you know, things that's not pleasing to Him.
Mm-hmm.
And the Spirit of God spoke, and He says, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your fast. I will visit your city. I have spoken it, and it shall come to pass. And you know, when you hear the Spirit of God speaking to your heart, and the fire, the Spirit just brings this zeal.
Mm-hmm.
I have such a zeal that's just locked within the recesses of my bones, like Jeremiah.
Amen.
That it constantly pushes me. When I make a commitment, you know, I stand firm in my commitment.
Amen.
You know, no matter if I'm sick or if it's my birthday,
mm-hmm.
I made a commitment to my brothers and sisters
That's
in
right.
the facility. I'm there preaching the gospel and
Hallelujah.
Bringing the good news. And I thank God because it takes Holy Ghost fire
yes.
and a godly connection.
Yes.
And it's your relationship that brings you to the very throne room of God. When I pray, I'm not coming to entertain you.
That's right.
I'm coming to speak to Papa
That's right.
because Papa needs to reach down His hand of mercy
Amen.
And bring some changes Hallelujah. Here in our islands. Hallelujah.
You know, it's just, and you touched upon that, Pastor Virginia, it's that passion. Because a lot of times, you know, and it's very common, depending where your heart is, it's so easy to make an excuse. You know, you're going to say, you could always tell yourself, why? They're not going anywhere. If I miss today, not going to mean nothing. Well, I'm kind of tired, you know, they're not going to miss me. Or I'm coughing tonight. You know, but it's like when, I'll give you an example. Pastor Bird and his lovely bride, it was on Christmas Eve, and my wife, Lynn, and myself were headed up to First Assembly of God Red Hill for our candle night service. And we're driving on the road, and I said, why are we going to light some candles and go walk around and look at everybody? We got to go to prison. It's our night. We can't go just because we have an event. Let's go be the light in the darkness. And she goes, hey, amen. That's a good idea. So we pull up into Old Triple C, and right next to us is Pastor Bird and his bride changing out of the church clothes, getting in the prison clothes. And I said, what you doing? He goes, hey, no need to go candle night. We'll go be the light over here. So I said, praise the Lord. So it was the four of us in the entire facility. But you know what? I knew God saw our heart. I knew God could feel the passion that we have to save the lost. Now we fast forward that for about an hour and a half, 2 hours later in Waipao. So we're out by the front entrance. And I look at Pastor Bird, and he's coming up from from Annex 2. And I swear, he's jumping 5 feet off the ground. And I'm going like, I don't know if he took his happy pills or what's going on, but, you know, he's spirit-filled, but brother's ready for doing some or something. And so I'm telling him, watch this guy. I said, maybe get a Christmas present I don't know about. And the Christmas present is Jesus, of course. But he came up. I said, bro, you all right? He goes, oh, I'm all jacked up. I said, well, I could tell that. And I go, what's going on? He goes, tonight, brother, when Muslim and come to Jesus Christ in front of everybody. He goes, oh, Muslim. He goes, we got the victory by the blood of Jesus. And it's when you go into those moments, when you come into those trials and tribulations, you know why Papa told you to go where you're supposed to go. And when you have your ear to Papa's heart, you're going to hear the beat of his heart and you're going to answer the call. But, you know, some people have other ministries that are wonderful, like hospitality and usher. And those are all great ministries. But the prison ministry, you have to... You just have to be a little nuts in my book, because you got to be nuts about Jesus. You got to be on Jesus freak, because you're going into the dark crevices where Satan lurks. You're going where the enemy lives, and you're casting him out by saying the name of Jesus. And you don't have to get all crazy in front of him. You say, Jesus, or you say, devil, flee, get out of here. Bye-bye. Nice to see you. We're here. But just over the years now, you know, I was mentioning earlier to our listening audience, we had just come back from Red Rock and Saguaro facility in Arizona, and I know you had mentioned an interest to going. That's probably one of our only facilities you have not had the privilege or the pleasure of going to, and I'm going on the record, you will be our guest on our next trip to Saguaro. Our guest. So when I say our guest, Pastor, we pay for everything. You just come with the holy fire.
Hallelujah.
And I'm not going to put you in my suitcase. You're actually going to get one seat on the plane. But I think the men in Saguaro, you know, a lot of them have been through the system. They would be so happy to see you, my sister. Hallelujah. And, you know, when you come and we just are Jesus with skin to our brothers and sisters, and it's like I tell them that are incarcerated, we all make mistakes. You got caught. Sorry. You know, but that's the bottom line. But if they can come to the cross and they come to Jesus, that's when their lives change, because the world got them there and only the word will get them out. Now, maybe you can share with us some of the changes you've seen in some of the people. Maybe some of the people have come out like I've seen in the short time. But how have you seen Jesus working with those that are incarcerated?
Oh, hallelujah. He has transformed lives. He had break chains. And you can see, you know, the maturity in the brethren as you continue to minister the gospel and the hunger. They're sitting on the seat and just waiting for every word to drop from your mouth, you know. And you can see the tears, the sincerity. But, you know, I was in OCCC one night and, you know, I go in and, you know, it's like 72-man module. I'm the only female. I said, I gotta be nuts to be here with you brothers. They boss up laughing, you know, and I'm up against the wall in the back of the module. But you know, I remember distinctly I was ministering the word and came in and they said, well, first of all, they said church, and you know, this certain brother got upset because every time you say church, you got to turn the television down or whatever's happening.
That's right.
You gotta, you know, and the ACO went in and says, church, get one lady. So brother boy, he came out for service because this lady pastor was sitting there. So you know, I looked at him and I started to preach under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And I started to preach on lust, you know. And then you know, I did an altar call. If you're lusting, well, raise your hand.
Yeah.
And you know, the Holy Spirit's presence was so powerful. And he touched this brother's heart, and his hand went up, you know, and he, at that moment, he humbled himself. He received Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, and he was facing 20 years.
Whoa.
And by the grace of God, he made it out, not even a year.
What?
And today he is a pastor.
Hallelujah.
And he his job, he has men working under him, and he's totally transformed.
Jesus,
and you know, that's the fruit of the ministry. Many lives, many brothers and sisters I've seen, you know, I would be at the store and, you know, they smile at me, you know, and then I remember in one in particular, you know, this female smiled at me and says, you still going? And I looked at her like, oh, praise the Lord. Yeah, I'm still going. And she says, she looked around from side to side and she said, I was in the facility and you prayed for me. And you prayed that if I would touch another drug that I would get sick. And let me tell you, it's been 2 years and I'm drug free. I was too scared to touch anything. Mm-hmm. But look at me today. I have a job and I'm out of the facility. Only God.
Only God. You know, and that's our whole prayer, is that they find God. You see, I think you're like me, Pastor Virginia. We left religion a long time ago because it looks good, but it just don't work. You know, and like I tell all the brothers and sisters that we speak to, it's like, I'm not here to talk about a big church. I'm not here to talk about a big religion. I just want you to get right with God, because I know if the brother or the sister that's sitting in front of us gets right with God, I believe their family has a chance. I believe their children have a chance. And you see, when you do ministry like we do, you don't do it for the income. You do it for the outcome. And like I always share with Lynn, I say, our payoff is when we're sitting in heaven and there's a young man that comes up and says, hey, you guys used to go to Triple C? I go, yeah. Hey, my great-great-great-grandfather gave his life to Jesus. That's why I stay in heaven today. And that is when you break the generational curses. Because you know for yourself, Pastor Virginia, there's a lot of men and women in there. They're fighting a generational curse. Someone in their family has previously been incarcerated. How do you deal with that when you find people that, you know, maybe their dad or their grandfather's been locked up? Some of them have their own kids that are incarcerated, and it just breaks my heart. How do you help them, Pastor Virginia?
Well, we bring Jesus and we say, you know, we lay it on the table and says, you know, your father's been like this, your grandfather's been like this, your children are like this, and it ends right here with Jesus. And we can pray, we can ask God in the name of Jesus to break every generational curse. You don't have to be bound. Right now, you make a decision, and God, by the power of his love, will break every yoke of bondage, and you'll be set free.
Now, you know, in the prisons, as we've seen, you know, it's just like when we're there, they're so hardened, you know, and like a lot of times you notice they have to desensitize themselves where they're at. They don't want to show emotion. They don't want physical contact. But, you know, as I know, when the Holy Spirit comes into the room, they just begin to weep. And it's when they weep that they drop to their knees. And it's when they come to their knees, they get closer to Jesus. And it's just a miracle before our eyes. You know, and you've had such a wonderful tenure in the prisons. Everywhere we go, they know who you are. They say your name with appreciation and love and respect. And I go to some pretty dark places. So I know that you have been tilling the soil for so many years. But we have some other things going on with Prayer Center of the Pacific. I want to leave the prison ministry just for a little bit and change tempo here. We've got a parade coming up, don't we?
Oh, we're excited. We're going to march in Waikiki on July 6th. We're going to bless our city. Let them give glory unto the Lord and give praises unto him. And that's what our God's plan and purpose is for us on that day.
Now, let's see. July 6th. And give us where it's going to start and what the hours are, Pastor Virginia.
All right. We're going to start on the 6th. Saturday at Fortarusi is we're going to gather at 8 o'clock a.m. for staging. Mm-hmm. We're going to push off at 9:30 promptly, so you got to get in there on time. And, you know, if you need to sign up and want to be a part, I want to be sure that you get our number. And if I may, just
please give your number and your website if you have that.
Yeah,
yes,
say
that to them.
It's 456-PRAY. It's 456-7729. Last year, we had 55 churches in
Hallelujah.
Attendance, 80 to 90 units. We had horses. We had flatbed trucks. We had bicycles. We had skateboards. We had somebody carrying a skateboard. We had little wagons. We had brothers and sisters with
families
their
families,
too. Oh, families,
yes,
families. Oh, you know, they were just rejoicing and singing praises unto the Lord.
Now, if I remember correctly, because I was able to participate, we're going to end up at Kapi'olani Park, right, by the bandstand. But you were blessing, I think the people that were marching in the parade were actually blessing the people that were watching the parade, weren't they? They had some stories there.
Oh, yes, they were. We were walking down, and we had invitations, little invitations, mm-hmm. that we had given those alongside the road to come and join us at the celebration, mm-hmm. at the bandstand, and we were able to say hello, and you know, we were just telling the tourists, thank you for visiting our islands, mm-hmm. and God bless you, and Jesus loves you, and you could see the smiles from ear to ear. But I had one testimony, if I may, really fast
please,
share.
Oh, please, take your time, Pastor.
Oh, you know, this testimony really touched my heart. You know, after the parade, you know how God, he sets you in the right place just mm-hmm. to encourage your heart. It was the first parade, the parade, it took a lot of footwork, a lot of work, and you know, I got challenged a lot.
You got challenged by other pastors, I believe.
I got challenged
yes.
by other pastors, you know, many times.
And you bless them.
I bless them, you know.
Oh, I respect that.
I bless
goodness.
Them. I love them.
You love them.
I cry for them.
Ooh.
You know, my biggest thing is when I'm on my knees,
yes.
and I when I cry, I said, Papa, these tears of can you take these tears?
That's right.
And can you wash the feet of those pastors
hallelujah.
Who have nothing good to say about
yes,
the ministry?
Hallelujah.
And I would just cry. And I've been crying for years for them.
Yes.
They don't know it, but it's okay. Papa does.
Yes.
But you know, this four-year-old, I was at my granddaughter's preschool getting her used to, you know, it was after the parade, and I was sitting there, and I was sitting on this little chair, and and this sitting with my granddaughter, watching her, trying to interact with her peers,
yes.
And there was this little boy sitting in front of the teacher and says, "Teacher, I seen horses," and she said, "Where?" And he said, "Oh, at a parade," and then he says, "I seen Jesus," and she went, "Where?" And he said, "On a truck." And I was able to hear that, and I just jumped in. I said, "Oh, we had a parade, and we had a four flatbed trucks. You know, the first one was the birth of Jesus. The second was the life of Jesus. The third was the crucifixion of Jesus, and the fourth was the resurrection. And it was 44-foot flatbed trucks." And you know, and I sat there listening to this little boy, you know, out of a mouth of a babe, the parade impacted his life yes. so much that he was able to testify to his teacher how great God was. And I was there at the right time, at the right place, and God encouraged my heart, because yes. I know it's not a work of a man, a work of a ministry,
right.
but it's God's heart to draw his ohana, his family, to come and worship him for who he is. If we live out, many times I hear pastors say Psalms 133, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. When it comes for unity, where are they?
Amen.
Where
Hallelujah.
Are they?
Word.
Where are they?
Word.
You know, but God comforted me and said, "You know, my child," he says, "I love you."
Oh,
and
Virginia.
I live to please the Lord. I'm not a man pleaser.
That's right.
I don't look for
That's
accolades.
Right.
I don't look for anything, just to please Papa's heart.
You know, Pastor Virginia, you're such a force, you know, and I agree with you. You always, and when we deal with Convoy of Hope, which is another project that we're all involved in, everybody can talk the talk, but sometimes their feet don't match their mouth. And like I tell my wife, I said, you know, we don't go to church. We are the church.
Amen.
You know, they got too many people, and, you know, I'm preaching to the choir now, but if you're just sitting on Sunday and think that's church, you need to get a real wake-up call, because church is outside of those four walls. Church is your neighbor across the street. Church is someone who's in need at 7-Eleven. That's where church is at. Church is where we go on Sundays to lick our wounds from all the battles during the week, to get fired up so we go back out on Monday morning and start battling the enemy again. Because you know that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And that's everyone and every person in your family. And he's relentless. He will not stop until he gets it. So are you ready to go to battle? But Pastor Virginia, you know, just in closing, if you could give a word of encouragement to all those that are listening, they're sitting on the edge of their bed tonight in whatever facility they are, maybe you can give them a word of encouragement.
I just encourage you from my heart to yours. First of all, I love you with the love of Jesus, and we're praying for you diligently. And believe me, when I say I'm praying, I'm asking Papa to encourage you, and that you would be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. You know, God is impressing tonight is don't lose heart. Keep the faith. Keep your praise up. Keep your nose in the Word of God, and keep your prayers going, because everything is subject to change with prayer. And God is inclined. He hears your utterance, your prayer, and he sees your heart. So keep pressing in and pressing on hard to chase after the God that created you.
Hallelujah. You know, I believe that there are so many of us, even those that are incarcerated, but even those that are in churches, and even those that don't attend church. We all have faith in God. I think many of us will profess that we do have a faith in Abba Father, in our Heavenly Father. But I think where we have the challenge is having faith in God's timing. A lot of times we're very impatient. You know, we live in a remote control society. We want everything yesterday. And sometimes it just doesn't happen overnight with our Lord. But, you know, it's his timing. God doesn't worry about time, because timing is everything to him. You know, and God, it's not no at all. It's just yes and amen. And if it didn't happen now, he's got something better for you. But the way we bring up our kids and the way we live our lives, if we don't like something, we're such a throwaway society. You see that in families and divorces, and you see division is of the devil. Unity is of God. But to all of our brethren that are in the facilities this evening, whether you're in Halava, whether you're at Wayava down at FDC 6A, or even my new friends in 5B and 6B, or in the women's facility where we'll be this week Thursday, or in Wayava where we'll be tomorrow night, Wednesday evening. Like Pastor Virginia said, you have to get buried in the Word. You have to be focused. And the only thing that's going to get you out is the Word of Jesus Christ, the Bible. Because if the world got you where you're at, my brethren, only the Word of God can get you out. Because you all know the definition of insanity. It's doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting a different result. And that's not going to happen. But remember, our anchor verse is Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declared the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans for a hope and a future. And the reason there's an S at the end of the word plan, because if plan A doesn't work, he's got plan B, plan C, plan D, all the way to double, double, triple Z's. And you got to remember, when we put on the full armor of God, my brethren, to fight the battle of every day, when we put on the shoes of the gospel, our belt of truth, our breastplate of righteousness, the spirit of the sword, and our helmet of salvation, the reason we don't have any equipment or any armor on our back is because God's got your back. We never retreat in battle. We keep moving forward. We press in and we press on because Jesus has our back. Pastor Virginia, maybe you can close us out in a prayer real quickly, and we can let our brethren go to sleep tonight.
Oh, hallelujah. Father, we bless you today. We honor you, Lord. Father, embrace your sons and your daughters. Give them peace, God. Cover them with your blood, Lord. And when they open their eyes, God, give them the hope that will bring them, Lord God, to the place that you want them to be in you. We thank you tonight, Lord. We ask also that you bless Hawaii, Lord. Save the lost and set the captives free. Bring them into your marvelous light, O God. We honor you tonight in Jesus' holy, mighty name. Amen and amen.
Well, my beloved, we're going to see you tomorrow night. Got Pastor Jay Puahi coming in from Straight Up Ministries. Going to give you an encouraging word. I might preach from the Pigeon Bible. He is the Pigeon Bible. Ahui ho, remember, ikia kua kohonania. To God be the glory.
You've been listening to Free Inside Ministry with Brother Bulla Eastman. Thank you for joining us today, and we hope today's message has blessed and encouraged you. If so, we'd love to hear from you. Email Brother Bulla at freeinsideministry@gmail.com or call 222-2822. That's freeinsideministry@gmail.com or call 222-2822. And remember, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed, free inside. Until next time, may God bless you.